embodied. Weil Gott mehr mit deinen Zehen zu tun hat, als du denkst. RevLab.
During our summer break, I got to visit one of my favorite witches. Yes, I am saying the word. She uses it as well. I use it for myself as well. The times where it has been an insult are long gone. Come on. So I got to visit one of my favorite witches, and she makes these beautiful sprays and essences that combine color, frequency, gem essences, and scent to come together to sort of support a specific, I would call it a vibe, a specific theme or a specific healing aspect as well. I use these sprays and essences almost daily, often before, you know, I record a podcast. I prepare the room like that just because it smells so nice and it just sets the tone for the whole endeavor. And it makes people feel pretty comfortable. And also before sessions with clients or before classes, it just sets a really nice ground for my work. I am standing in Alison Kaler's workshop. It isn't any ordinary workshop. At the moment, Alison is infusing water with sound by placing a bowl of water on a loudspeaker, playing sounds of a certain frequency. The sound waves correlate with the color and ingredients of the final product. And color is what this is all about.
So color is light, and the light is the wave and color is the frequency of that wave. So every color holds a particular energy.
And so you're using the water that you treated that way and then put it into your color healing essences, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I also use these filters. They're empty right now just because I don't want the water to sit. But these I use, and I solarize the water with this colored filter. And then, so you're basically transferring from the sun, like you're using the light to sort of transmute into the water. So you're getting that color essence. And then I also use alcohol to preserve them, but I infuse all the alcohols with like different plants. And so violet is lavender and clove, and then juniper berry is indigo. And so it kind of gives like the plant essence too. And but yeah, I feel like color's so underutilized and it's all around us, right? So it's so available, I think.
And yet you're dressed in all black.
Oh my gosh. You know what's funny? I have to tell you this. Sorry. You're going to laugh. I wear black every day and I cannot wear color, and I'm trying to work on it, but for whatever reason, and I've been trying to kind of ask myself like why that is. And I think part of it is like black is so protective. And if you're very energy sensitive, it's like kind of like wearing a shield. And that's the only thing I can come up with, but like wearing color is actually really hard for me, but I love it in my home. And like, you know, you see like it's colorful everywhere else, but for my person, for whatever reason, it's like black is that color that I feel most comfortable wearing, which is interesting. Do you feel that way? You're wearing black too.
Yeah. For years I was only wearing black. And then now when I go to cities, I wear all black.
Yeah.
But when I'm at home, which is just a tiny village, I wear all kinds of colors again.
Interesting.
And at some point I was like, okay, so am I wearing black now? Because it kind of became my identity. I was like, oh, okay. Time to let it go.
Serious.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, but when you're traveling, it feels more protective because you're in a new place, you know, like maybe subconsciously. What I've learned is the color that you sort of repel or like are least drawn to is usually the one you need the most for healing.
Oh, really?
So for me, that color was red. And
Alison goes on telling me about her path, how she went from a job in fashion to building her own business and starting it in 2015, and how the color red has been such a prominent theme for her.
I had been getting told, like, you're a channel, you're a channel. And this one lady was like, you can't channel unless you ground, because you have to be in the physical body and be present. And that's what red really taught me.
It was sort of through that color that she came to terms with her gift of channeling. Channeling just means sort of downloading information from, you know, the universe or source or the environment, just being very aware of everything, basically. We go on walking around Allison's little workshop that is actually her garden hut in the backyard of her house in Portland. There is an abundance of things to see and smell.
And I want to hear more about, like, there's so much stuff here and everything is fascinating. You have a whole shelf of
herbs and, yeah, infusions. So, like, all the salves I make, these are all herbal infusions. So this is the congestion rub, and it has eucalyptus and mullein and juniper berry. And then I make that with menthol crystals and beeswax. And so that's, like, really good for when you're sick and just, like, rubbing that on your chest. And I do a similar one that's a meditation balm. And that one's more with rosemary and mint, skullcap, lavender, lemon peel. So it's kind of, I really like it for headaches. Great travel companion. Yeah. So these are some of the alcohols. This is frankincense. I just started. So this one goes in the blue spray. And then this is the green, this is cedar, and then, so they're all just, it's crazy when you put them in alcohol, like, how much scent you can really get out of them. I know it's strong,
wow,
but isn't that amazing, though? You can really smell the frankincense still. So, yeah.
What do you call yourself? Like, what will you say if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, Allison, what do you do for work?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out. I kind of go, I have a product line, but I think more recently I've been saying, like, I don't know, like, I'm do some, like, psychic work, I guess, and, like, readings and stuff. I think the deck has been a really big launching point for me to be able to, like, make it something that's tangible.
The deck, meaning Allison's own tarot deck that she designed, it uses color as a guide as opposed to the traditional tarot deck, which uses symbols and figures.
You know, I was doing the color sprays and then trying to, like, convey everything to everyone and, like, not having a full teaching tool. I feel like the deck now really exemplifies, like, how to work with it. Beautiful. And then, you know, like, how different color combos, like, you know, if it's dark blue, then you're combining the throat and the root, or if it's, like, peach, that's, like, pink and orange, right? Mm-hmm. So you got the heart seed, the thymus, and the sacral. So how those energies blend together, and
it kind of has a witchy quality. Yeah. I mean,
yeah, that's how my practice really started. I think, like, acknowledging, like, I am a witch, because that was always, like, kind of a negative connotation. But I think, like, when I really deepened my own, like, practice and sort of realized how much control I had over my own experience and through my consciousness and, like, working with manifestation, I did a lot of, like, candle magic work for a while. That was really profound to me. But I think one thing people get wrong with manifestation is, like, they're like, I just want this thing, I'm gonna dangle it out here. And you really have to embody it fully, like, and believe it, you know?
Yeah, and get rid of all the stuff that's in the, I mean, not get rid, but work through all the stuff that's in the way, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what I want my work to exemplify, is, like, a tool to allow people to better understand themselves and their own psychic abilities. Because I think each of us have that. And it's like, I don't want to be the representation of that. I think that's why it's hard to label what I do. I just want to be the one that helps you to open up the doors for yourself, you know, if that makes sense. I think that's what you know, everyone who does this work should embody, instead of kind of being like the ego, I'm the presence, listen to me. I don't ever want to be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So it's more like your essences and color healing sprays and everything you do is to support each and everybody to find their own path to whatever you call it, God.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I think the biggest thing is society... In all societies, in the Western world at least, they're always sort of pushing us to seek something outside of ourselves. And I think that what they get wrong is everything is within. And so learning to kind of access those deep hidden parts of us, and kind of like all we all want to do is find ourselves, you know, and find those deeper layers and just... be happy and be in flow. And it's hard to be in flow. Like, it's so easy to be knocked off. Like, not everything is love and light. Things are shit sometimes. Things, you know? Yeah. It's like,
true.
And I feel like there's also a misconception around doing this work. Like, you have to be perfect and attain some sort of perfection. And it's like, no, like, life's fucked up. It's messy. It's like, and it's okay. Embody all of it and like, let yourself feel that and like, let it move through you. And yeah. But yeah, I just really wanted to create tools for people to work with. And I just make everything that I want, kind of, you know, I like things that I want to use. And I think other people would enjoy as well. And
so everything happens from this room quite, or do you have, I don't know, employees now?
No, I don't.
Imperium?
It's still just me. I've just been kind of making it work. I mean, I think like some people assume I'm like bigger than I am, you know, which is great. But yeah, it's just me. I'm like, I don't know. It's hard to share your vision in a way. Do you find that?
Yes, because if I want to share my vision, I have to be incredibly precise and clear about it. And that is not always easy.
Yeah.
It's like, again, like, what description do you use if somebody asks, what do you do for work? And there is already the challenge. And like, well, I don't know, kind of energy stuff.
Yeah, I know, right? I know. I guess I would say I have like... an apothecary line, like a product line, and then I do like a lot of color healing stuff. That's kind of how I would describe it, but I probably need to figure out a name for it. I just don't know yet.
No, it's
but it'll come. Though. Yeah. I feel like I'm just like always the eternal student. Like there's always so much to learn. Yeah. I'm still learning, you know? So, yeah.
And have you always had that sort of connection or that sense that there's more to life than, you know, just work and whatever?
Yeah, definitely. Tarot was a big part of my practice for like since I was young. And I think I was always really fascinated with sort of, you know, esoteric knowledge and like spirituality. I don't know what you want to call it, but I know it's like sounds kind of cringe, but I like I feel like I was always really really fascinated with all of that. And then, you know, I'm quite a naturalist, so I really wanted to create and develop a product line that like didn't have chemicals, and that's a big part of it. Like I think that where we are sort of really getting it wrong, especially in America, is like just thinking that we can skip like our biological nature and just put synthetic things in everything, and it's killing us. And so, you know, like using plant-based oils, like they have so much power and energy, and you know, every perfume is like a medicine. And I think scent especially is so underutilized. It kind of guides our memories and emotions and our like behaviors and even sexual behaviors, like think pheromones, like all of that. And I think it can kind of like transport you and take you to another place. And I think it also can be a good activator to like get you in the body and like present, like taking that breath. And I don't know. It's powerful. I think, yeah. Scent is especially something that I think has guided this whole process, like mm-hmm. wanting to convey a certain essence or motion or feeling and using scent to do that, I guess, mm-hmm. if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
if we could transmit the sense of smell through audio, like the listeners would smell your studio.
You that'd be so cool.
And it's just, I don't know, just standing here and being in this scent is like, oh, it's just so nice. You know?
Yeah, I hope so. That's the goal. Like, I always use the green spray, like, in my house because it's really good. Green is really good for claustrophobia. Mm-hmm. So it helps to, like, make it feel more, like, expansive, you know, like you're in the trees. And it is kind of that de-stressing, like, forest bathing. You know, it has a lot of, like, pine and cedar and what else does it have? Fir. So, you know, that tree kind of smells. And then, yeah, in the morning, red is great because it helps to awaken you. It has that, like, cinnamon and sort of clove and more spices to kind of, like, activate you, wake you up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, midday, like, maybe yellow if you're trying to concentrate on something. You get those kind of citrus, rosemary, clary sage kind of scents. And then I love to use the violet, like, on my pillow, help with sleep and... meditation, indigo is a great one. So they all kind of embody something. I want to expand the colors beyond the 10 that I do and do smaller versions and one day be able to do like a huge kit of them, like kind of practitioner kit that would go with the deck. Wouldn't that be so cool? But yeah, that's like kind of down the road. That's a big endeavor. But but you know.
It's already amazing. All the things you've created, like the essences, the sprays, the
posters.
I mean, come on. So these are
meditation posters. So, you know, I think one way that you can work with color that's great is just like really visualizing it, or like these are for color breathing. So the little thing here helps to walk you through the meditation. And you're staring at this circular portal of color, and it'll be like, you know, breathe into the central red. Mm-hmm. And you're like taking it in through your eyes and nose, and then you're breathing it down through your feet. Mm-hmm. And so you're having like a whole experience with it. And then even in meditation, like utilizing color, or people that do Reiki, you can send Reiki with color, you know, like through your hands, like visualizing. Yes. So I think there's a lot of ways of using it, you know. Envisioning green in the heart space is always good to recenter. And so, yeah, I wanted to create something like really tangible. And God, there's just so many ways. I feel like, you know, even just like surrounding yourself with like, you know, flowers that are a certain color, like yellow for a work desk is excellent. Or orange for like a creative workspace would be good. You know, for a bedroom wall, more of those yin colors like blue, purple, indigo. They're more restorative and good for sleep. Yellow could be good in a bathroom because it's a laxative color. So, yeah, in hospitals, you often see, at least here in America, they're green. It's because green is like the most antiseptic color. There's also like they did studies for a while here with violent inmates, they were putting them in pink prison suits because it helped to make them less aggressive. And
I know in the psychiatry hospital we have in Zurich, I think, there's like these isolation cells, they're in pink.
Interesting.
Probably calm people down or calm. I don't know.
Yeah. Soothe like really intense feelings. Violet can be good for that too, for like really hypomania states and stuff.
So you were saying tarot has always played sort of a big part in your life, but did you grow up with, I don't know, plant knowledge, or did you go to church, or like what was your spiritual childhood?
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't grow up going to church at all. My parents are like very normal and not into anything I'm into. So I'm definitely the black sheep. But I think as a child, I just like grew up playing in the woods and just being deeply imaginary and in my imagination at all times. And I think back at that really fondly, actually. And I think when you can bridge that child self to your current self, we lose a lot of that. And so what I've kind of realized is, like, you know, you're born with these two parents and they instill their beliefs, their values, and their ideas into you, and you don't know anything else. And then you kind of are moving up in, like, that sacral age range, which is like 8 to 15, you're starting to merge with other people and you're mirroring each other more. So you're kind of like having this reflection of yourself and it's more social. And then I really think it's like when you get to kind of the solar plexus age, which is like, what did I say, 16 to 21-ish, then you're starting to deprogram from all of those, like, societal and parental, familial kind of belief systems. And you're like, who the fuck am I?
Yes.
And you're trying to, you know, peel that back. And then it's an evolution throughout your life. So I think, especially when working with your intuition, it's like, I think it's kind of the strongest weapon that we have in this world, especially in the technological age with AI and everything else. Like, we need to really deeply connect with our internal selves and find what feels right and what is right to us, because otherwise, you know, it's just going to be a run amok, because there's so much information and stimuli coming at you all the time, that I think the more you can get back to that innocence, like, child self imagination, and really believing that, like, we are creating our reality and our consciousness, and even when bad things come, it's like you can't really gain the wisdom to excel and ascend without going through the hard shit, even though it sucks in the moment. I think you just, you kind of have to just embody it and, like, work through it and find a new perspective or a way of being like, okay, this happened and I have to, like, heal and keep going. And, I don't know. That's kind of a roundabout way. But does that make sense? Kind of like what I'm trying to get at? Like, I think I'm still trying to work through the layers of, because growing up, I remember I was mostly, like, at daycares or had, you know, my parents both work full time. And I know my sitter at the time, who took care of me and kind of raised me growing up, they went to church. And I remember going one summer to, like, Bible study. And I was, like, the weirdo that had never been baptized, you know? And I went home and I really was like, Mom, why don't we do this thing that everyone else does? Mm-hmm. And I look at it all as a blessing now, like, because I didn't have to. Not that it's bad, I'm not saying that. But I think it's just more that, like, I think for me, I got to explore the idea, but figure out what was right for me.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think religion can be a great thing for a lot of people and have some sort of faith or whatever. But I think that like your own true spiritual practice has to be very unique to each individual.
Absolutely.
You know, and you take parts of all these different things and you find what resonates for you personally. Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of see it, I think.
So how do you, like, you mention how intuition is sort of the biggest weapon we have and how that's a good thing to sort of land back into. Mm-hmm. What kinds of practices or what helps you to keep landing or to keep deepening or to keep feeding your intuition?
That's a good question. I think once I acknowledged and opened up to the idea that I can channel, and I was, I think when I started the line, I think my products are a product of channeled information, and I didn't realize that I was doing it. And once I opened up to the idea that I could hone the skill and really work on it, it kind of blew everything open. And now, you know, when I do readings, I usually tune into the person and do some channeling work before. And it's been really profound. And, you know, even for myself during COVID with that isolation and everything, I really was doing it every day, and it really helped. And it can be as simple as just, like, you know, finding a good grounding meditation and then just free writing and, like, you know, practicing that way. Okay. Now I have, like, more guides that I work with, but I think that each of us has our own way of intuiting things. Like, so someone I would call, like, a yellow personality, they're more like clear sentient. So they're going to like, yellow feels things physically. Mm-hmm. So their intuitive hits are going to be more like chills, hair standing up, rash, or like hives, or maybe it's like a clicking or like something physical. And that's how they're going to like be able to intuit it. Whereas like red, for example, is linked to clairalience, like we were talking about. So the ability to sense through scent, because it's so like primal and instinctual. And so I think they're, you know, some people are clairvoyant. It's just more like a matter of like accepting and surrendering a bit. But I think in the way of practice, starting with just like a really solid meditation every day, even if it's for 10 minutes and you set a timer and you just, you know, even if your mind goes nuts and you can't settle, yeah, just keep practicing it. Amen. Keep practicing it. Because they say after 30 days, it like restructures your whole brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. It's very powerful, mm-hmm, you know? So, and I think just the surrendering and being like, I am an intuitive being, I can do this, and like really believing it too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think each of us, like, you know, some people have really deep dream space and that's the way that things come through for them, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like whatever method works for you.
When you say you have more guides now, what do you mean?
I was telling you earlier, red was the color that I was the most repellent of and I struggled with. And now the first guide that I ever met, I channeled through the color red. And she came through as like full-blown red. It was like she was tapping at me for like years and like, wake up, bitch. Like, I'm trying to talk to you, you know, like, hello. So now like she's been like the most potent, powerful medicine for me. And I think I'm still working through like all the root chakra stuff for myself. Through help with this medium friend is really who helped me a lot, mm-hmm, to meet these other guides. And then there's been more like, I don't know, it's interesting. It's like an evolution. There's like quite a few now. And like sometimes it's a new person I've never met or a new something. Okay. Like,
I was just wondering if, yeah, like by guides you mean, you know, beings in other realms, yeah, or do you mean living people,
no, these flesh? I don't channel like where it's like something enters my body and my voice changes and I'm like, you know, it's not like that.
Kind of glad.
Yeah, that's intense. Yeah. Yeah. But no, these are like guides and I assume they are just people who passed on and they are just part of me and maybe other lives of mine. I don't even know. Could be. Recently, I had a crazy experience where I realized like I was channeling my future self. Mm. Like, yeah. So I think everything exists in all timelines converging, and it's kind of hard to even like go there because I don't fully understand it yet. But yeah, I think I lost my train of thought. But yeah.
I ask you about like, okay, these guides,
yeah,
who are they? And from what I hear, it's like you're pointing to the moment being it, as in time and space kind of collapses. Yeah. And so you have your future self, you have your past self, you have your, I don't know, Cleopatra self, whatever. Yeah. And some of these are your guides.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, they're kind of like your spiritual protector energies. I think before I was in contact with them, I was just seeing like orbs. Mm. So I'd see these like color orbs and they still will show up kind of as like a warning, like, or not a warning, but like it kind of shows like a presence or like something protective. I always look at it as protective. It's usually like this really indigo bright orb. Mm. But I think everyone has guides and I think it's just a matter of accessing them. And that could be something that you try and get in touch with in your meditation, like, mm-hmm, you know, protective energies, like, come and help me. And like, maybe you come in contact with something like that. But I think even in a protective sense, you know, you can ask them to help for in different situations, mm-hmm, too. When my grandmother was passing, I remember she was like on that in between and I was like, can you go to her and be with her? Mm-hmm. And I saw them like go, and she passed like right after that. But it was nice to feel like there was like someone there with her to like hold her hand through that mm-hmm. and like keep her protected and mm-hmm. safe and mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Probably sounds really far out to some people, but I think we should get more comfortable with this kind of thing, because I think the future is only going to really advance, and like technology, I don't want to see it surpass what the human brain and consciousness is capable of. So I think we all yes. need to kind of start to embody this and recognize, like, you know, I don't know how I feel about aliens, but I think it's really interesting that there's so much more talk and like sightings. And I mean, it's be crazy to think that we're the only people in the entire universe, right?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's like, get weird. Like, you know, like just let it all hang out. Like, I'm up for it all. I don't know. So, I mean, the more open we can be, the more open we can be to experience crazy, amazing, miraculous things.
Yeah. And I think there's a rise of, some people call it like humanity is evolving. Like there's more and more awake people around. It's not that there's one guy, Jesus, you know, like 2000 years ago, there's right. a couple, there's a lot actually. Yeah. And yeah, we're not burned at the stakes anymore. So do it, go
yeah.
for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that in my personal opinion, I think each of us is our own God. I think that the God consciousness is within each of us. Everything's really based on your perception of it, right? So you can think about something negatively and then it becomes a negative mm-hmm. thing. But if you're thrown a curveball and you're like, okay, how am I going to deal with this and go around it? It's like you can shift your perspective on how it looks. And then change it. And I think, too, there is an aspect of, like, sometimes things just happen. And there's, like, a reason or there's something you have to learn from it. Even if it's not what you want to happen, mm-hmm. I think we have to sometimes just accept. And I mean, it's hard, but in a way, it's like maybe there's a greater source of learning here yeah. through the experience. Yeah. Yeah, it gets complicated and I haven't quite figured it all out yet. Life is like tough. My son is autistic and we have hard days and we have hard times and we go through it. But he's a really miraculous being. And I think he has taught me a lot.
Wow.
I got into color and light therapy, a lot because he was nonverbal and I wanted to have a bridge to be able to access him and where he was blocked, especially in that throat area. Mm-hmm. In this Judy Hall book I was reading, she talks about how the soma chakra is linked to autistic people and it's above the third eye and it's the color lavender. And lavender is like this really auspicious, beautiful, like kind of airy, imaginative energy. And it also really is connected to like timelines and multiverses and like the silver cord and like connections to people and how our higher consciousness and our physical body are connected. And while he talks a lot now and swears, unfortunately, always at the worst times too, but he, and at the time he was nonverbal and it was like so frustrating for him, I think.
Yeah.
But I realized like he was really telepathic. And I think that is the connection to that chakra as well. But he would like, it was like we would go somewhere and I'd think something in my head or I'd be like, oh no, he's going to go for that object. And he, you know, I know he shouldn't, they're going to, you know, in a shop or something. And sure enough, it was like, and I think that was his way of like communicating with me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, once I acknowledged to him, like, I know that you're totally aware of everything that's going on, probably on a micro level more than me or anyone else because you feel it so much more intensely. I think that's when like some of the layers like came off, you know, and like he, yeah, I don't know, maybe that's like far out, but I think he's my biggest teacher.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you could support him in his journey through color and your work
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, and energetics. He really likes like frequency and sound. Yes. He's very sensitive to a lot of music. but he never is bothered by like my crystal balls or frequency stuff or anything, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And he's into crystals and he'll let me do the light therapy on him. And I think once I realized he was telepathic too, or like he was able to communicate with me that way, it's like I can try to tune into him now and speak to him in like in his, maybe it's like his higher self or like, I don't know, when he's away from me, and just be like, you're okay, you're, you know, like, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, energetically, we're all connected, and it's all, I don't know, the way I see, experience it, it's really just all one, so.
Yeah.
What you're saying makes a lot of sense.
Oh, good, because I feel like your audience is going to be like, who is this lady?
She's they're used to me, so I think they're fine. You want to show me?
I get to experience Allison's latest tool firsthand. It is this sound bed where you lay down and there's these colored lights above you shining on your body, shining on your chakras, which are these energy centers in the body. All the while the bed vibrates in a specific frequency and you listen to that frequency in the form of, you know, sounds of crystal bowls or singing bowls. The whole thing was so amazing that I instantly Googled, where can I buy a sound bed? The link to Allison's private practice is obviously in the show notes, but tell us, do you have any experience with stuff like that? With potions, elixirs, color sprays, I don't know, sound beds? Let us know. As always, we love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Danke vielmals fürs Zuhören. Wir hören uns wieder in 2 Wochen, dann mit Patrick Schwarzenbach und natürlich mit mir, Lila Sutter. Bis dann, macht's gut. RevLab.